Hey everyone, here is Daniel Budai, and today I'm here with a brand new episode of the Ecom Show. And today we have a special guest from a special niche, so Laura McCann, and she's the founder and CEO of Adora Therapy. And her company, it combines two things. One is Aura readings that actually I don't know too much about. When I asked my employees, they knew more about it. So I'm undereducated, actually. And also she sells physical products. And this is partly a physical business. So you can find this in physical locations. They are also in retail. And also there is a third pillar of this business, which is e-commerce, Shopify e-commerce. So several pillars, and I would say not just e-commerce, but partly info product, and also maybe we can call it a service business. So It's just an interesting mix. Hey, Laura, how are you today? Good to have you here.
Hey, Daniel. I'm glad to be here. Thanks. Yeah, so you're learning about Aura readings. A lot of people, you know, don't know about it. So yeah, I'm happy to share. But yeah, we have multiple pillars in the business, and a lot of that came from, as an e-commerce business, how do you get leverage on the products, right? And the stories that you're telling. And we have aromatherapy is the core product line. And so it is scent-based. And so scent-based businesses online really are a bit challenging, right? Because you can't smell it. So yeah. There's been a lot of things people have done around sampling or, you know, trying to get people to try a scent. But that didn't work for us because we're also trying to tell a story about healing and what to heal and how to work on your energy. So for us, bringing the brand into physical retail and adding the Aura service was a way to kind of do the quiz that you have online when you're a beauty brand and you're asking them the questions about their skin or this and that, except we do it in the store. And then it becomes also a paid service, which generates its own revenue, which helps us keep our AOV up. And it becomes a feeder into the products. So it's been really interesting as a marketer to see how that works and what it's done for our business. So it's an exciting kind of, you said, niche story.
Yeah, it is. When did you start this business?
So the business actually started in 2015. And when it started, it was just a physical products business. And it was really designed to sell wholesale. And that was sort of like the trajectory. And then in about 2018, 2019, even though we always had a website, we started to focus more on building out our Shopify store, building out an online brand, trying to understand social media marketing. So we were a little later at that because we never thought we could sell online. Who would even know who we were or what we did? So we kind of pivoted to that. And then COVID happened. And then during COVID, we opened up our first physical store. And we're about to launch our second physical store. And the business has really been transformed by that pivot, right? So that's really where we've been focusing our attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think let's tell the listeners where you are based. So first store was in Asheville, right?
Yeah, first store is in Asheville. And then this spring, summer, sometime in June, we're opening a new store in Miami in the Wynwood area, which is a really kind of fun new tech and art corridor in Miami that's happening. So it's very exciting. Yeah.
I was there 2 weeks ago and in the design district, and I really liked it.
Yeah. So you saw Miami's having a big boom and retail is a big part of it. And, you know, it's very walkable. The weather is hot, but great. And so, yeah, we kind of picked Miami for a lot of different reasons after scouting different locations that we thought we might want to be, you know, launching a second store in.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great decision. And if anyone doesn't know what is an Aura therapy, I wasn't aware of this. So what is it? How would you describe it?
So I'm wearing the t-shirt. We're actually, there it is on that side. Aura Therapy is a brand inside of our retail store. So it's a sub-brand that we're developing. My business partner, Jim, is building that piece of it. And we have an Aura reading studio inside of our store. So Aura readings, different ways people do them. Sometimes it's photography and people use a camera and they have these cool cameras and it captures the colors of your energy field in the film. In our case, we're not doing it that way. We're using a system that offers us hardware and software. And so we're scanning somebody. They put their hand on a little scanner, brings in information from their own electromagnetic field. And it displays that as the Aura colors, but it also has a 14-page report. And that report has information on their chakras, which is the energy in their body, their color personality, and then all the ways that they're using their energy. So think of it a little bit like a prescription, like how they're doing mind, body, soul. And it becomes a really wonderful way to do a custom experience for somebody, but in the retail setting. You know, typically people would want to do this kind of thing with a healer. They would go to a Reiki person, or they would go to somebody who could help them if they're having blocks. And that's a very different setting, more like a spa setting. And we really were looking to bridge what we think of what the metaphysical store of the future should be. And a lot of people buy crystals and tarot and potions and herbs and things like that. And we're like, okay, that's interesting. But we think, you know, New Age is using data to do things that are more about wellness and mind, body, soul. So we're really looking at this as a total concept. It's not really just like we're healers. Yes, we do that, but we're really looking to transform an industry that's still kind of behind in terms of what it can be. And wellness is a huge market. So like you could say that's really our niche, wellness, but beauty also.
So let's say I'm in Miami, I don't know, a few months from now, and I go to your store and I get these things from you, and I get this information, and then what can I do with this? Because I think that's where I'm undereducated.
So you have chakras. There's seven of them, and each chakra is representing a part of your body, but also like a spiritual, emotional thing. So let's say we'll talk about solar plexus. For entrepreneurs like us, the solar plexus is a very important part of our energy field. It's where we do all of our doing. It's what we use to do that pushing, that optimism, the go-getter personality. So if let's say you're overactive and you use your solar plexus, you'll burn out, right? Anybody who's telling you they have burnout, usually what's happening is they've done too much of this adrenal fatigue, and it's affecting their heart chakra. It's affecting their stomach, which is their sacral chakra. With the report that we give them, they can find products to help them breathe, create rituals. Aromatherapy is plant medicine, so they have things that can help them with relaxation, anxiety, stress, opening their hearts, doing more spiritual work. And we use the nose as our sort of subject. You know, some people, it's like they make shoes for the feet, and it's all about getting people to run. For us, we want people to breathe. We want people to take a deep breath, a meaningful breath. And so the products are designed to create breathable moments that are healing that will then help them with the balancing and alignment of their energy. So it's definitely wellness, right? It's like, you know, you take a vitamin to supplement or to give you energy or to grow your hair or to make your nails stronger. You would align and balance your chakras so that overall you feel better in life. And then you also can move energy that's stuck, that's causing issues in the long run, because you haven't really learned to use your energy that way.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And if anyone goes to the website, you also have a perfumes on the website, right?
So yeah. They're not really perfume. We call them aroma perfume. So again, we had to create a category of our own, because if you say aromatherapy to somebody, they think, oh, lavender or lemon. And they think, oh, I'll put that in a diffuser and my room will smell good. Maybe they make something with it at home and they have like a potion and they use it because they know there's benefits to lavender and things like that. What we do is we blend many oils together, sometimes six or seven. We use a range that's more like a perfumer. And so we create beautiful scents that you can use for healing, but they also are standalone. They're scents that are gorgeous that you can use. And they're a substitute to perfume if you're ready to get rid of perfume, because perfume is not a wellness product. Even clean perfume, it's made with alcohol and chemicals. And so most perfume is not natural. It's not breathable. So it's an interesting category because people always think of like, let me clean up my food. Let me clean up what I'm drinking. Let me clean up my environment. And then they still go and put on perfume or cologne for the men. Right. Yeah.
So you have actually most of your experience. It's not in e-commerce, right? But physical store, wholesale, retail. So how do you find those different than e-commerce?
Oh, so great. So in the end, we kind of use Shopify as our sort of source of data because we use a Shopify point of sale. So people who buy in the store, you know, those purchases go through the point of sale. And then Shopify is where we manage our inventory, all of our reporting, you know, for now. It's kind of our dashboard. So even though we're a physical retail, we still operate like an online business. And that's sort of the tip of the spear. And we do that because we're looking at all the similar metrics, right? In a store, you might be looking at sales per square foot, but you're also still looking at product turns. You're looking at AOV, you're looking at CLV, you're looking at all the metrics that are typical. And in a store, you have the same metrics. The difference in a store is really what's the customer acquisition cost, right? Because online, you may be running ads or doing other things, you know, affiliate marketing, blah, blah, blah. And you're looking at those numbers. In the store, you're paying your rent and your people. So I look at the business and I kind of, in the beginning, it was like, what can give me the most leverage on my business? The retail was the one that created recurring revenue day after day. Mm-hmm. And with the right financial decisions around like the right, you know, the right rent, not having too much payroll at the beginning until we figured it out, we were able to generate enough cash flow to then be able to go and do more things online. So if we were doing all the things online, we probably wouldn't have made it because we wouldn't have had enough money up front to fund the growth. Whereas the store is like, you know, somebody can walk by, walk in, buy. It's like every day, all day. Yeah. Finding us online is harder. And I found that as a smaller brand, that's still a challenge for many of the other CEOs that I know that are smaller is like, yes, you can try to grow online, but it's really very, very difficult to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think many first-time business founders, they assume that online growth is easier and maybe... But yeah, so this is how I think about it. Probably starting it online, the starting cost is less than for a physical store. But I think somebody said this from a big firm, a retail chain, I think, but I don't remember them, the name. And the guy said that, yeah, so the initial cost is higher for a physical store. But once you are there, the food traffic, if it doubles, triples, it doesn't add too much extra cost. Yeah. While in e-commerce, as you scale, the software gets more expensive and everything.
Everything, yeah. I think there's a lot of bad advice, to be honest. I think that if you look at anything in the way that they market it in the magazines or, you know, if you read any of the entrepreneurial blogs and things like that, like there's this illusion that there's like one size fits all. And the truth is it's not going to work that way. What really I think it's about is the vision of the person leading it and where their strengths are and also what they know and what they're good at. In my case, I'm good at product and I'm good at design and I can do the tech piece. So for me, I was able to do that and learn how, and I could do it because I was a consultant and I ran a boutique and a boutique consultancy, right? I ran an IT business. So exactly. I understood how to go and implement software and do requirements and do vendor selection and find the right sources and understand what it should cost and what it shouldn't cost and how long it should take. So as a result of that, I had the ability to bootstrap a lot of that. If you're paying retail for that from all the companies that want you to give them their money to do the stuff, you would be spending so much money. Like you would just be spending almost as much as physical retail, honestly. So that was an advantage for me. The other advantage is that, you know, where we are in Asheville, the rents weren't as high as maybe in some other places. So if I had to pay, you know, $3,000-$5,000 a month for an unproven concept, I would have been terrified and I wouldn't have known if it would have worked, because I was able to do something smaller scale and see if it worked. It really was in the end a good decision, but it's, you know, you don't have a crystal ball, so you see. But either way, if you have retail, you need a website, and you need a website that's going to perform so that your customer can then later. So you have to do more than one thing. So the question is, is it two things? Is it three things? How many things? And then, you know, we make our products. So we're also a manufacturer. So we did that as well because we wanted the margins. There was no way, I don't even know how people do it, that you can have any business where you're making 50% markup. So maybe you can make 70%. That's pretty good. We try to make 80, 90% markup. The reason why is because 30% goes to cost of sales or whatever it is that you're doing. So you already eroded your margins and you're already at 60 if you're lucky. So, but if you start at 60, then you're at 30, good luck, right? You can't grow any business and cash flow it with that kind of margin. So,
Can you see, and in one, so to what extent you can see an overlap between the e-commerce store and those customers and the physical store, you know, all of these pillars, like people buy from one and then they go to your store on their own.
So that's really interesting, because I physically have worked in my own store for the last 3 years that we've had a store. And I also have done pretty much every job as a small company. I can absolutely see, oh, this person came in, bought this. I met them, probably. I even put the product in a shopping bag. And then I can see when they come back and order. It's getting a little bigger now, and I'm losing that piece. But I can see from Shopify, you know, where they came from, if they're reordering, things like that. What I would say is, and I think it's an interesting dilemma for many of us in doing hybrid businesses, which I think is a lot of people, is the Shopify dashboards don't provide us with all the information that we want. There's a lack of the reporting, and that there definitely is an opportunity for, you know, on the data side, for there to be better data in terms of all these things. And it's just that, you know, they always think of everything as like we're just e-commerce, but we're not, you know. Like there's so many examples of things where Shopify doesn't seem to really understand everything about e-commerce that they should add some new things. The app world helps, right? There's some good apps for many, many things. But yeah, again, it's like you have to be quite technical and a good marketer to understand all the things that you might want to add to your Shopify stack to get you where you want to get to.
So I must ask you this question because it's so popular nowadays. How about Amazon? Thinking about
getting. Yeah, so I've had a lot of bad experiences with Amazon. Many of them have been learning experiences, but when we started, we did vendor and seller, and it was a small business. Then, of course, as we grew, we got approached by distributors. So we said, oh, let somebody else do this. They're going to be better at it. So I've now gone through two distributors that have been very poor performers. And I have been stuck for a year or more in brand registry hell, which is basically like my last distributor went belly up and I can't get my brand registry back. If I could, I have an Amazon strategy, but my understanding of Amazon is it can easily cannibalize your business and it can also cannibalize your resources. So I haven't quite cracked it yet. I think it's an important, maybe I'll call it a fourth leg, but you have to be very smart about it because, again, it's a price-driven business. And ultimately, Amazon's learning from you and will take your products and private label them or do something. The other issue with Amazon is you don't own your customer. So I don't know about you, but for me, owning my customer seems like the most logical thing, especially since it cost me a fortune to acquire the customer. So to work in that world seems like it's a little bit challenging. You know, it's very old school in terms of like, yeah, I'll take the money and the flow and the volume, but I really don't have a strong business in terms of all the variables that you need as a marketer in terms of the consumer piece, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see both sides, you know, and some people, they have very strong opinions about one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I think in your case, because this is a more brand-driven business, and as you said, Amazon is very, very price-driven, the customers, I think, and I know other skincare beauty brands and yeah, even supplement brands where they really build on the brand and or on the personality of the founder or the brand products, and they avoid Amazon, and I think that's the right decision.
Yeah.
Because Amazon is also, it's more search heavy. People, they search for something. I think now in the US, if somebody wants to buy something and they really know what they want, they go to Amazon, not to Google, to search for the product and buy them. So, and then of course, price will be super relevant because, you know, it's there on the top. You can check the reviews, but still.
It's also, I think for me, it's very easy. I'll go on Amazon, I'll buy like tea or a protein bar or a pair of socks or something like that. But if you want a product that has an emotional connection with the consumer and that emotional connection hasn't happened, it's not going to happen on Amazon. So Amazon's great for replenishing. Oh, I don't want to pay shipping and I can get it on Amazon. But if I offer free shipping on my website, then they can get free shipping. So then the question is, what are they doing? Are they, you know, adding my product when they're buying, you know, paper and ink for their printer? Like that, is that the experience that you want? So I think there's a lot of questions. Not every product should be there. Also, there's a lot of products that are being sold that are counterfeit and or, you know, Amazon doesn't give a heck about any of it. So, you know, there's not even a person you can talk to there. So, you know, again, I think there's this idea of slow, small, made in America, whatever it is that people want that makes them feel they have integrity with how they spend their money. And hopefully, you know, you can find your way there. And then Amazon is there if you need it. But Amazon, you need to be clever, I think, about how to do it. Bundling products so that you give, you know, you don't want like the same SKU and ASIN as your everyday product, because you will basically put yourself out of your own business.
So a few more personal questions for you. Who was the biggest mentor or somebody who's been teaching you how to do business?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. You know, I started 30 years ago as an entrepreneur in New York in the fashion industry. And I worked with some really amazing companies and some amazing brands, you know, most of the big vertical retail brands in apparel. So I really learned the business from that perspective. And, you know, part of my job was to shop every year, go to all the stores in Europe, figure out what were the trends, buy it, copy it, make it for the American market. So I have like a very strong, you know, sort of like retail merchant mindset. And along the way, I've seen, you know, amazing businesses. Like I worked a lot with The Limited. So The Limited used to own everything, but they don't anymore. But they had, you know, everything from Express to Lane Bryant to Victoria's Secret, New York & Co. Like, so I worked with brands across that spectrum. So that to me, watching and growing up in the 80s and 90s in the apparel industry was really very fundamental to kind of how I see the world. And then I grew up in Europe. And so in Europe, everything is a little store. You know, you walk down the streets of Paris and, you know, it's like, doesn't matter. You don't even know the brand or the chain. And every store is like exciting and fun and amazing. And so like, I really love that. And I like creating experiences like that for my customers as well.
I wasn't aware of that, that you said you were raised in Europe?
I from the age of 7 to 19, I was raised in Paris. So,
oh, amazing.
In like the 70s and 80s. So it was like a really interesting time because Paris in 1972 was like 1950. You know, it was like it wasn't yet modern. Now it's like, you know, I was there when they opened the first McDonald's on the Champs-Élysées. As an American kid, we were so excited. You know, we're like, oh, Big Mac, that's great. You know, so like, I love that. I love watching retail and seeing, and I've had, you know, I'm going to be 60 at the end of the month. So I've seen a lot of the evolution of this. And then thank goodness I was always interested in the tech piece. So like in 2000, I was already sort of like had moved from fashion to fashion technology. And so I wasn't afraid of all of that. And so I've just had my finger inside of, you know, all the changes. And now it's like AI and, you know, e-commerce is even evolving. So it's sort of like, I love it. It's endlessly exciting and fascinating to kind of keep up with what it is. Today, it's very different building a business. I mean, you definitely need different skills than you had in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I think somebody shared is that, let's say, you know, many people, they think about Steve Jobs as a great leader or Bill Gates, or I could say any other names, but nowadays you need very different skills and strategy than back then they had. So you always need the right strategy at the right time. You cannot ignore where you are, like what year you are in. You can use the strategy as Steve Jobs used. You can learn from him, but you need very different things nowadays.
I agree. And you have to be endlessly curious, right? Courageous, courage. You know, you need the courage because everything you're doing, like, you know, you don't know if it's going to work. You need to be curious. You need to like open the email, read the thing, check out the app. Is it the one? Try things out. You know, that's very, and you have to be compassionate because today your workforce is asking you to be like way more than just a boss. You can't even be a boss. Like if you tell somebody what to do, they're kind of offended. You have to have relationships with your team. You have to grow them, nurture them. So like, you know, I call it the three C's: courage, curiosity, and compassion. That's what you need. That you learn that through life. You're not going to learn that through, you know, a school. That, you know, so you learn on the job.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura, for sharing your story today, and I wish you a very happy birthday later this
thank
month.
Thank you.
If anyone wants to find you and your store, where they should go? So, what's the website?
Yeah, adoratherapy.com.
Yeah, and where are you located, in Asheville and in Miami? So,
yeah, in Asheville, we are located at the Grove Arcade in downtown Asheville. It's a beautiful historic building. You can't miss it if you're downtown. And then in Miami, we're going to be in Wynwood. So come visit us. It's going to be on 25th Street. It's 230 Northwest 25th Street. And we'll see you there in June. If you come sooner, you'll knock on the door. We won't be open, but we'll be there trying to get it all ready for the grand opening.
Amazing. Thanks again. And thanks everyone who watched the live or will listen to the podcast. Stay tuned. Every week we come out with a new podcast episode. Also, I will add one more link to the description, which is from my company. So we collected the top 100 email templates. We sent out more than 500 million emails in the past 6 years. We collected the top 100 and you can download it for free. So go down and check out the link. And thanks again, everyone, and have a nice day.